Father, thank you for these offerings and use them to speak into this world. Use them to speak into our lives. Use them to show forward your truth. Plant it deep within us and within this world so that the world may indeed see your glory. And Lord, just thank you for the children going out now and pray that you will indeed be with them in their classes and with those that are helping to lead them, to help them learn more about you and have fun in the process. So Lord, speak at the Sunday school, speak here in this part of the service too, as we come to hear about your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And before the children go, I can't help but say a thank you to all those that took up the offering, and particularly to some of the younger ones who did it with more enthusiasm than I have ever seen. It's wonderful. Peter's going to come up and do our reading for us. Matthew 6, verses 5 to 13.
But when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Thanks, Peter. Well, you might recall a few weeks back I spoke about why we should pray. And we thought about prayer as being the place where we encounter the presence and the power of God. For those of you who find it hard to start off in prayer, or who just need a bit of a kind of kickstart when things have got a bit sticky, we thought about how it was like going and meeting a friend for coffee, having a bit of a catch-up. And I challenged you to spend some one-to-one time with the Lord that week, just sharing your heart with him, how it really is, and spending some time perhaps listening as well. And I know that some of you did it, because a few of you told me or emailed me. I hope that quite a lot of you did it. I don't know. I hope you did. But if you didn't, give it a go this week. Give really intentionally spending time with God a bit of a go this week. And you might also recall that we thought about why we pray. And we pray because we want God to step in and get involved in a situation. And we want him to change the situation that we're praying for. And this week we'll be thinking about, how do we pray? How do I build a quiet time? How do I listen? How do I make time for prayer? How do I pray with others? How do I pray for others? How do I pray for my family? How do I pray for my workplace? I want us to step back a little bit this morning and take a look at Jesus, at what he might have meant when he said, "This then is how you should pray." And hopefully as we think about Jesus' teaching, we might find that some of the questions that I've just put out, or some of your questions, might just be answered. "This then is how you should pray," said Jesus. What does that mean? Does God mind whether you pray standing up? And Peter was reading about whether we're standing up, whether we're babbling, whether we're in a room on our own or in public. Does God mind, actually, whether you pray standing up or sitting down, wandering around or prostrate on the floor, whether you pray in church with lots of other people, whether you pray in the car on your own, with or without soft background music, with written prayers or ones that just come from the heart? Is he happy with multi-sensory prayer? We did a little bit there. Is he happy with that? Or is prayer something to be done quietly and in the still? And the answer, of course, is that God isn't really that bothered. Those things don't matter in and of themselves. What God is bothered about is that whatever we do in a way that actually helps us to connect with him. Different personalities are going to connect with God in different ways. And we need to be really creative. We need to create space within our lives and within our church life for that. And that could be a real challenge in a prayer meeting, can't it? With different personalities relating to God in different ways. Some wanting to be moving around, some wanting to be really still. But things we need to think about. Don't have answers, I just know we need to be thinking about them so we can all relate to God. And if you're not connecting with God, find another way to pray. Find another way to pray. Find ways that work for you and maybe vary how you pray to keep things fresh. For me, I find praying comes most easily, most naturally, most fluently when I'm wandering around and speaking out loud. But obviously that's not practical all of the time. And some people find that music really helps them to pray. I can't pray with music on, I have to say, because my mind is singing the words of what's going on, and so I then can't pray as well. But some people find it really, really helpful. So just do what works for you. That's when you're on your own. Just do what works for you. And it's going to be really difficult for us all to get it right all the time for each person when we're in corporate prayer. We can encompass some elements to get it right for a number of people. But on our own, we're going to struggle if we don't do it the way that helps us best communicate with God. Getting up at praying at 5 a.m. I've read of great saints of the past who've done that, and saints of the present. And it's wonderful if you can do it. But if you can't, it doesn't actually make you any less spiritual. If you pray, so long as you pray, if you're praying at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or at 10:30 at night, that's just as good, all right? But you do need to make the time, you do need to make the space. You see, the time of your prayer isn't what makes it spiritual. It isn't super spiritual just because it's 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock. It's the quality of the relationship with God that makes it spiritual. So we need to dedicate time to be with the Lord. SOS prayers, arrow prayers, and as and when I can fit it in prayers, they're good. They are good. And sometimes they can be what will sustain us. But that's a bit like a text relationship with God, I suppose. If you want a really good relationship with someone, you need perhaps a mixed diet. You might want to send some texts here and there. But if we want the relationship to deepen, we've got to go beyond that. Andrew and I sometimes will text each other during the day, but we need to do a bit more than that to maintain a healthy relationship. Amidst our busyness, one of the things that we've done almost since the start of our marriage is to regularly, perhaps once a week, pack a picnic, drive to the seaside or the river, sometimes not till quite late at night, because sometimes we've both been finishing really late at night. Not taking our mobile devices with us, and just spending time catching up with one another, finding out what's going on in one another's lives. And we call it hospital car, just it's a bit embarrassing, but it's because it's about taking care of our relationship and looking after each other. And there have been times when life has been rubbish, and that those hospital cars have literally, I think, saved us from insanity, or certainly saved our marriage, because they provide a point of real connection that is devoted to the other person. And I wonder what you can do to deepen your relationship with God, to make sure that real connection can come alive even when you're busy. What can you do to take care and look after your relationship with God? Because if we truly expect to connect with God when we pray, our prayer meetings should be full. Do you know that? Or perhaps they wouldn't be, because maybe we'd be too scared of what God might actually say or how he might change us. Because God changes us when we pray too. Anyway, let's look at the model of Jesus' prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught us. What's become known as the Lord's Prayer is not meant to be a prison for our prayers. It's meant to be a pattern. It's meant not to contain or constrain what we say, but it's meant to liberate our prayers so that we can talk to God with a whole new level of energy, a whole new level of boldness and perseverance. And the Lord's Prayer is not meant to be just a ritual embedded in the life of the church. It's meant to be about a life-giving prayer that brings relationship, that Jesus invites us to be a part of. It's a framework, a prayer that can overflow with the power that we need. And sometimes we'll say more or less the words that we read in the Bible, that were read to us earlier. And other times we'll simply use the tools from that prayer to liberate our praying, to free us. And often kids' prayers are the best to listen to. And I asked Marilyn to get some of the girls in GB just to write a few prayers. And I said, don't tell them anything. Don't give them any instructions. Don't correct any grammar or anything like that. Just ask them to write a prayer. So I'm just going to read a few of them. Dear Lord God, I'd like to say thank you for my mum because she helps me to stand up to bullies. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you for everything. Thank you for listening. Amen. Dear God, thank you for giving us a great time at William de Ferrer's for our induction days. Thank you for putting up with us when we do crazy things. Thank you for helping us in difficult times. Amen. Dear God, thank you for my mummy, daddy and Oscar. Amen. And I'm thankful especially to my family who've helped me turn my life around when I was getting into trouble a lot. I love you, God. Amen. They're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful. And they're so simple, aren't they? They're so simple. Lessons in honesty. Lessons in honesty with God. There aren't any worries about whether the words are in the right order. Well, they were pretty good, actually, but even whether they make sense to anyone else or not. It's just about communication between a child and their God. They know what they're wanting to say, and strangely enough, so does God. And as adults, I think we sometimes start to think that prayer is complicated. And that if we're not really clear in expressing ourselves to God, somehow he won't quite understand what we're trying to say to him, so he won't be able to answer us properly. Or perhaps sometimes we think we need to impress him, the babbling that Peter read about in the Bible. We think we need to impress him just so he'll listen. But we need to become a child again this morning. Encounter prayer in a fresh way. Jesus showed us how that could be done. And that's why he gave a model prayer. It doesn't have to fit every time, but our model prayer says, "Our Father in heaven." You know, how you start to pray will shape the rest of that prayer. Our Father in heaven. What do those first words tell you? They tell you that as you're about to launch into your stuff with the Lord, that we need to put God in his rightful place. And Jesus invites us to use the words, "Our Father." And that is the most intimate, personal expression that could be used. Jesus is it's an awesome privilege. The prayer could have said, "Lord God Almighty," because that's a name for God, isn't it? It could have said, that's El Shaddai. It could have said El Elyon, the Most High God. It could have said Adonai, Lord Master. It could have said Jehovah Shabbaoth, the Lord of Hosts, or a whole of load of other names used for God in the Bible. And that would have been good. But Jesus suggested at the start of this prayer, we can address God as our Father. The Hebrew word used is Abba, which is actually much more like Daddy. Daddy. Jesus calls us to address God as Daddy. And it's like Jesus is saying through telling us how to pray, can I introduce you to my dad? Can I introduce you to my dad? There's no need to be afraid of him. He's like the most perfect dad who just wants to love us and see us thrive and grow in the freedom that he gives us. And once we start with that understanding, it shapes the rest of our praying. It gives us a firm entry point to truly meet, to truly connect with God. And his first response to us as the perfect dad is a response of perfect love. Whatever our human fathers have been like, this is a response of perfect love. What in your prayer life might change when you understand him as the best, most loving, perfect dad ever? Perhaps you could start assuming that he likes you bothering him, that he loves you, that you are worthy of his time and attention, that you're not a pesky nuisance to him, but that you are part of the family, his family, when you go and see him, when you spend time in his presence, a part of the family that has an absolute right to be there. And when you understand that, you might just find that you start to talk to him much more confidently and honestly, just like the children who wrote those prayers. We don't start with our Father in order to remind God who he is. He probably knows who he is. We might not know who we are, sons and daughters of the King, but God sure knows who he is. And the reason we start with our Father is so we're reminded that when we approach God, we come into the presence of the best dad ever. A Father who's going to blow us away with his unconditional love that he wants to lavish on us. He allows us to call us Abba. Call him Abba, Father, Daddy. He calls us into his presence because he loves us and longs to care for us. And yet, he is a holy, awesome God. And so we move on to say, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name, O Lord. And it's a reminder that our sonship, our daughtership, our prince and princesship, if you like, with our Heavenly Father is an honour not to be taken lightly, for he is Almighty God. He is Alpha, he is Omega, the first, the last. And we have this amazing privilege of entering directly into his presence, into the Holy of Holies, because he wants it that way, because he loves us. But we need to come in humility, remembering that we are only who we are because he is who he is. Then Jesus' next how to pray guideline is this. He effectively says, I want you to pray the biggest, most incredible thing that you can imagine. He says, pray, your kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. And those words are at the heart of this prayer. Thy kingdom come. It's a prayer and a half, isn't it? It's a prayer and a half. That's asking God to come and take rule and reign in this or that situation. Be bold, step out in prayer and pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Every time we pray that, we're laying aside our pride, our independence, and putting God firmly in the number one place. Think about the prayers you've prayed in the last week. Have they just been small prayers? And small prayers are good. Don't get me wrong, but have they just been small prayers? What would be different about you, your circumstances, the circumstances around you, if you prayed a great big kingdom prayer? What might have changed? Because it's easy for our prayers to become just about us and about our nearest and dearest, and that's not wrong at all. But we need to pray big, bold prayers too. It's in the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus taught us to pray like that. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, he moved on to say. You know, I've heard people say about a difficult situation, all we can do is pray now. Have you heard people say that? All we can do is pray now? All we can do is pray. All we can do is involve the Lord God of heaven and earth. Your daddy who loves you, who likes you talking to him. Why is it so often our last resort, not our first? Why on earth would you go anywhere else first when you have direct access to such a powerful, living, loving God who happens to enjoy your company? Why would you? Doesn't mean we don't do stuff, but go there first. A few passages on from our passage in Matthew. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto ye." Jesus is telling us to pray about the kingdom and put his kingdom, his values, first. I don't know about you, but I have to check myself. I have to check every day. Am I putting the kingdom first, or am I putting my own will, my own desires, my own kind of inklings and tendencies? Am I putting them first? And sometimes, I've got to be honest, I'm not really sure. Is this God, or is this just the way I think? And sometimes it is really hard to tell. And it's only through regular relationship with God you can start to pick that out. But I truly think if we seek first the kingdom of God, if we really seek God's will, if we really seek God's way, I don't think if we do that and we humble ourselves before God, I don't think we'll go far wrong. Your kingdom come. You take up reign in my life. Let me live a life that reflects you. Your kingdom come in my workplace. Your kingdom come in a way that honours you. Your kingdom come in my personal life. Let me live in relationship with my family and with my friends in ways that honour you. Your kingdom come in this or in that situation. And you know what? If we're not prepared to let the kingdom come in our lives in every part, all those things that we're waiting for God to pour into our lap, we'll still be waiting. And we'll have missed the blessings, all the things that will be added unto us. If we miss the blessing, we miss the opportunity to bless others, because we're blessed to be a blessing, aren't we? So let's seek God's kingdom, God's will first, and all these things will be added unto you. What are his plans for us? What are his plans for this church? What is his vision? And we can be sure that if we're entirely comfortable with it, it's not his vision. Or at least not his vision in its entirety, for his vision will be infinitely more than all we ask or imagine. Let's pray kingdom prayers, faith-stretching prayers. We only really need faith, don't we, when God is asking us to take a leap that's too big for us to take. Because if I step off one step onto another, that doesn't take a lot of faith. I learned to do that when I was about 2. I can do that in my own strength, and it does not stretch my faith. But if I step off what the edge feels like a cliff, because I sense God is calling me to do that, I can't do it in my own strength. And until the moment that I take that step, I take that leap of faith, things will often look scarily impossible. And that's not a surprise, because if God wants to do something that's infinitely more than all we ask or can even imagine, can even start to comprehend, friends, it's going to be a bit mind-blowing, isn't it? And maybe a bit scary. But when I step off that cliff in faith, I find and have found throughout my life, every time, when I'm doing it in faith, following what I believe is God's will, suddenly there's another step there. There is another step there. And God often does it a little bit late, I find. It's not too late, but just at the last minute, just when I'm about to go into free fall. That's the way God works in my life. For other people, it's absolutely on time sometimes. But for me, maybe he's trying to grow my faith. I don't know. But it's just at the last minute, but it always happens. Church, if we want our faith to grow, we've got to step out in faith when God calls. What I wonder, does God really want you or me or us as church to do, to be? What might his unimaginable vision be? We can't imagine it. What should our response be? Those are things that need so much prayer. In Acts 4, Peter and John have been preaching their socks off and thousands had put their faith in Jesus, but it stirred up the authorities who arrested them, threw them into prison. And when they were released, they went back to their own people. And what did Peter and John do? Did they keep their mouths shut? No. They did quite the opposite. They raised their voices in prayer to God and they said these amazing words. They said, "Oh Lord, hear our threats and give us your servants more boldness in preaching your word." That's kingdom praying, isn't it? That's kingdom praying. God honours bold prayer because bold prayers honour God. Let's honour God in our lives and in this church and be prepared when he does things that we wouldn't do. Because he's entitled to, because he's God, and he sees things very differently. Kingdom praying is not to get God to solve our problems. It's to invite him into our problems. Not to give you and me the get out, but to give God the get in. And I want God in my life. I want God in this church's life. He's already there, but even more so. Let's give him more space by praying big and seeking first the kingdom. Pray kingdom prayers, expect to be changed. And then suddenly we move on in the prayer from big kingdom prayers down to the micro scale. Give us this day our daily bread. Probably from Asda or something like that. But let's look up a bit. Not Waitrose, I don't mean by that. But let's look up a bit in terms of praying, give us this day our daily bread. It means, God, give me enough. Don't be greedy or consumerist, but give me what I need for each day, and I'll know it's from you, and I'll be thankful, just like those kids were thankful. Because we're not meant to stay hoarding our blessings. Are you hoarding blessings? Remember what happened to the manna in the desert? They had to collect enough for each day, but it would go off if they collected more. We're meant to rely on God each day. And that doesn't mean don't plan sensibly. It doesn't mean don't bother with a pension. It doesn't mean those things. But it does mean we're blessed to be a blessing. Because there has to be an outworking of our faith as well, and our praying as well, an outworking of it. And as well as praying, give us today our daily bread, we need to be praying, give this guy over here our daily bread. Right prayer always changes us. And that's what stops prayer just being the fine words of the hypocrites, just the babbling, because it prompts us to action. Matthew 7:21 says, Everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but rather the one who does the will of my Father. Prayer prompts us to do the will of the Father, and that might be quite different from what we would do in the natural if we were doing our own thing. If you want to preserve the status quo in your church, in your personal life, don't pray. If we want things to stay the same, don't pray. But that won't be doing the will of the Father. But if you want transformative power of God in your life, in this church's life, pray your socks off. Then Jesus' prayer comes to forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's a time of confession, time of forgiveness. You don't have to be perfect to come to God. Thank God. This church would be empty if you did, with no chance of anyone else coming in either. When we come to Dad, we can confess our sins, our wrong attitudes. We can confess the times when we've missed the mark. There we go, that was a nice noise. We can confess the times when we've missed the mark. Times when we've put ourselves before others, or put ourselves or others before God. We can come to him, we can tell him all about it. And when we ask for forgiveness and seek in his strength to turn away from that sin, his loving forgiveness spreads into our life, into every part, even the bits where we struggle to forgive ourselves. And we've all got those bits. My only response when I meet the Lord like that is to say thank you to him. Thank you to Jesus for what he did for me on the cross. And what an honour to be able to step into the Father's presence, to a God who's beyond our imagination. A God who, when I turn to him and say sorry, holds me in his arms and says, I know, and I still love you, and I'll still walk with you. That might be for one of you here this morning. I know what's going on. I know what you've done. I know if you've stuffed up. But I still love you, and I will walk with you. And then as I know his forgiveness, I know freedom. And I find that forgiveness starts rippling out to my own relationships so that I'm forgiving others. And as I forgive others, I find that releases blessing. It's not always easy to forgive others. It can be very complicated. But ultimately, forgiving others releases us. It stops us becoming bitter and tangled up inside. Hand the person, the situation over to the loving God and ask him to deal with it. Who better to deal with this or that difficult person, difficult situation than a God of justice? Leave him to deal with it. And then the prayer ends with a somber, I'd like it to end on a high note, but it actually ends on a somber but realistic note. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There will come times of crisis when all seems pretty dark for the world, for the church, in our own hearts, our minds, our lives. And I'm sure as Jesus shared this part of the prayer with the disciples, he was thinking of the recent time of temptation that he'd had in the wilderness. In his compassion and love for his disciples, he suggested that they should pray that they might not be led into anything so dreadful as he's had to deal with. But if we follow a crucified Messiah, if we take up our cross daily and follow him, we can't expect to be sheltered from the darkness. We can expect some real challenges, trials, persecutions, spiritual conflicts, agony of body or of spirit may come to us. They may come and test, they may refine, they may help us learn. Should we shrink from them? I think sometimes we know we're strong enough to say, no, I'm going to accept them. I'm going to leave the issue in the Father's hands and I'm going to grow and learn. And I know that in my life it's been the spiritual and the physical conflicts that have really caused me to grow, the really difficult trials and things. caused me utter dependence on God. It's when I've grown. But I think sometimes it's okay to say to the Lord, in fact, this prayer says so, you know, Lord, I'm really conscious of my weakness, and I'm not sure that I won't fail or fall in this conflict. Or, Lord, I can't take any more right now. I've absolutely had enough. So lead me away from this temptation. Lead me away from this trial. Deliver me from evil. Give me the strength, at least, to cope. And we often conclude the Lord's Prayer with the words, "For thine be the kingdom and the power and the glory," possibly because we want it to be a bit more of an upbeat end. They're words added by the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. They're not in the Bible. They are, though, I think, quite good words. Very good words, actually. You might want to sometimes pray them, but not always. But they help us ensure that we end with our prayer focused back on Almighty God, don't they? His power, his kingdom. By saying effectively, Lord, this isn't about us, it's about you. It's not about our power, but about your power. So if we don't think we can do it, that's fine, because it's not about us. It's about your power. Pour out your power. It's not about us wanting to do X, Y, and Z for our glory, or this church's glory, because it makes us look competent or brilliant. It's about his glory, about his name being made known, about his name being held high, so that many will come and worship the living God. I am who I am in Christ. Because God is who he is. So just in conclusion, prayer is a way of inviting us into an incredible relationship. Our praying allows God the opportunity to change us, to shape us, so that it begins to be more about him and less about ourselves. That's how we pray in our families, our workplaces, on our own, with friends. Prayer is an invitation to consider God for who he is and get caught up with his story. The invitation is from an amazing God. Take a hold of that with both your praying hands this morning. Put God in his right place. Know who you are in Christ because you know who he is. Almighty God, Daddy. Be bold, pray kingdom prayers. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Ask for what you need, but remember that you're blessed because God wants to lavish his love upon you, but you're also blessed to be a blessing. So go and be a blessing in every way you know how. And know freedom in Christ, the true freedom only he can offer. The freedom to be forgiven and the freedom to let go and to forgive. Ask the Lord to help you grow stronger through the times of trial and to keep you from falling. For in him we are more than conquerors. For his is the kingdom, his is the power, and his is the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Just going to be quiet for a moment and then finish with, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee.